Okay. Kadachit. Once upon a time. Atamana. Traveling. Sa. She. Brahmalokat. From Brahmaloka, the highest planet. Mahim. On the earth. Gatam. Having come. Vavre. She proposed. Rahat Vratam. A vowed brahmachari. Mam. Unto me. To. Then. Janati. Knowing. Kamamohita. Being illusioned by lust. So, translation. When I once came to this earth from Brahmaloka, the highest planetary system, the daughter of time, wandering over the universe, met me. Knowing me to be an avowed brahmachari, she became lusty and proposed that I accept her. So you can repeat. When I once came to this earth, from Brahmaloka, the highest planetary system, the daughter of time, wandering over the universe, met me. Knowing me to be an avowed brahmachari,
she became lusty
and proposed that I accept her. So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. The great sage Narada Muni was a naishtika brahmachari. That is, he never had sex life. He was consequently an evergreen youth. Old age, jara, could not attack him. The invalidity of old age can overcome an ordinary man, but Narada Muni was different. Taking Narada Muni to be an ordinary man, the daughter of time confronted him with her lusty desire. It requires great strength to resist a woman's attraction. It is difficult for old men, and what to speak of young. Those who live as brahmacharis must follow in the footsteps of the great sage Narada Muni, who never accepted the proposals of jara. Those who are too much sexually addicted become victims of jara, and very soon their lifespan is shortened. Without utilizing the human form of life for Krishna consciousness, the victims of jara die very soon in this world. So, kadachid attamanasa brahmalokan mahim gatam vavre brihad vratam mam tu janati kam mohita. Okay, so Om Ganati Miranda Shaganjana Shalakaya Chakshur Un Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So many things we can learn from this particular verse and Srila Prabhupada's purport. One is that if we want to maintain our life and live a healthy life, not only do we have to follow this one principle of no illicit sex life, but also we have to follow all the regulated principles, because all the regulated principles help us maintain our life or live a longer life or avoid disease. Of course, with the sex life, which is mentioned here, that's elaborated on by the Ayurvedic literatures, and they describe that if one engages in sex life, it's... That's a nice little musical interlude in the middle class. So if one engages in sex life, it's like losing the vital fluid of the life. It's like losing gallons and gallons or hundreds of gallons of blood as far as the ojas, as far as the energy of the body is concerned. So one's energy gets depleted, and later on, not only do they have a shorter life, but... they get all these diseases like Alzheimer's disease and other diseases occur as a result of that. So that's the sex life, which is dealt with in this verse. But then also there's the other regulative principles too. Let's say meat eating, for example. So when one eats meat. Prabhupada, incidentally, gave a very interesting explanation about cavities. Because generally, people think that, oh, well, Kamal Harinam, very nice. Welcome. So generally, people think that cavities are due to eating too much sugar. Of course, that may be one little cause for cavities. But Prabhupada said that cavities are caused, or at least more cavities are there, when one eats meat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was actually wondering about that for a long time. You know, how is this, what is the mechanism by which this occurs? And then through my studies of different medical things, I came to the conclusion of the information that when you eat meat, it creates an acidic, there's this animal protein thing, which creates acidity in the body and acidity in the mouth, and this acidity leaches away at the teeth. Just like if you take your wonderful drink Coca-Cola or Limca or any of these things. In India, you have Limca or Barta Cola. That means Barta Varsha Cola. Anyway, so you take these things, you put a tooth in them, and then within a few days, the tooth is completely gone because it's acidic. There's the acid from the... it's actually carbonic acid. That sounds real heavy. That means when you have a fizzy drink that's carbon dioxide in it, and the carbon dioxide makes a weak solution of what's called carbonic acid and dissolves your teeth. So you're thinking it's so nice to drink these soft drinks, but it actually dissolves your teeth and you have so many cavities later on. But so meat does the same thing. When you eat the meat, not only does that the acid from eating the meat, the animal protein, it's actually animal protein, it causes an acid imbalance in the body, but it also causes arthritis and so many other diseases, too, that occur from eating meat. And what to speak of colon cancer, you know, we're not even talking about those things right now. Of course, I just did talk about it. Colon cancer and all other types of cancer and even mouth cancer, because when the people barbecue the meat, it has carcinogens. So eating meat, and what to speak, and let's say talk about fish too. You know, people talk about fish being water vegetables. In India, they'll talk about that. Say, fish is not breaking the regulated principles. We're vegetarians. It's just we have a little vegetable that moves on the water. So it's discovered that the fish concentrate all the chemicals, these chemicals which, like wonderful chemicals like mercury and other chemicals like that, they concentrate all the chemicals because they're higher up in the food chain in the ocean. In other words, higher in the food chain means that the first item on the food chain would be a unicellular animal that's eaten by a little higher animal, like you got the amoebas who are eaten by the paramecium or something like that. And then they're eaten by higher and higher and higher animals. And finally you get to the fish. And in each stage it concentrates the chemicals that are there in the water. They're naturally there. Not only the chemicals that are put there by man. You know, man has put a lot of chemicals in the water too due to mining and other activities. But there's naturally mercury and all these other chemicals in the water. So it becomes more and more concentrated, and by the time you get to the fish, then you got a super concentration of mercury and some of the other hellish chemicals, and causes brain damage and causes so many other problems. So you see, I'm trying to illustrate that by breaking other regulative principles, you can shorten your life too. And what to speak, intoxication, I don't even think I need to talk about how that shortens your life. I'll talk about it. Like every time you drink, of course, you shouldn't drink, but every time you drink beer, so many millions of brain cells, every sip, become destroyed with the alcohol. Alcohol actually destroys these things. And what to speak of other types of intoxication, I mean, when you get to the heavier intoxication like marijuana or other things, or even effective intoxication, Effective intoxication means it's not something you put in your mouth or take into your body, but it's something you do, like video games. That's like an effective intoxication. You know, because the brain becomes atrophied. Certain parts of the brain become atrophied because you're not using them. Atrophied means you don't use them. Like if I don't use my arm for a while, I just like don't do anything for about 2 months with the arm, then the muscles become atrophied and it becomes very hard, and then I have to engage in physical therapy to regain the use of my arm. So when we don't use the brain, guess what happens? It becomes atrophied, and it's really hard. You got to exercise again. I mean, brain actually increases by exercise. Did you know that? Your ability to think. Like if you have problems with memory, then you shouldn't think, well, I can't memorize anything. I'm useless. I'm hopeless. So you should do some memory exercises, just like with, you know, if you have problems, your muscles are falling down in the bottom here instead of coming up. It happens sometimes, you know, you just look at someone's arm, it's down there, instead of up. Then you got to exercise. I mean, it's a no-brainer. So there's effective intoxication, like watching videos for 2 minutes. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't watch Krishna conscious videos. I mean, I watch Krishna conscious videos. I saw a nice video last night about the story of Shakuntala, which is an interesting story. But too many hours of this, and one becomes very dull. You can look at people coming out of the movie theater. It's just like their eyes are glazed. Their eyes are glazed, and they have a bad temper and so many things like that. So the point I'm making is that by breaking the regulative principles, intoxication, and what to speak of gambling. Gambling puts you in anxiety. Prabhupada said disease is caused by anxiety and overeating and uncleanliness, three things. And so you have to be in anxiety if you're gambling or playing the stock market. I know people who play the stock market and they're in anxiety because you're looking at the ticker tape. You know what the ticker tape is? That means ticker tape means like the price of the different stocks. You'll see it go across the screen and it'll say AT&T up 1/4, IBM down 3/4. And you're thinking, you know, every time it goes up 1/4 or down 1/4, I just lost $500,000. Or I won $500,000. You know, you're just like... So you find the old people, they sit in front of you, especially Miami Beach. I don't know if any of you have been to Miami Beach, but they have a stockbroker place, and the old people just sit there in their chairs watching this ticker tape, electronic ticker tape. It used to be actually a tape. That's why it's called ticker tape. Because they had this machine was like about this big with a bell jar on top, and the tape would come out of it. So, but it's not ticker tape anymore. It's actually a electronic thing, and it just goes across, and you're just looking at that. And then you're in anxiety. So anxiety causes a shortness of life, too. So all these things. Of course, in this particular verse, illicit sex is mentioned. And it's very interesting when one becomes determined not to have illicit sex or, what to speak of, become a brahmachari, there's tests that arise. Like here you see Jada, of course that's old age, who is obviously a little bit attractive. Not old age is attractive, but she has a facade, you know, a facade of attractiveness. That this girl is very attractive. It's just like in the movie theaters. Not movie theaters, but in the movie studios, you have a facade. A facade means that you have, let's say, the front of a building, but behind the building, there's nothing. I don't know if any of you have gone to Universal Studios or to any of these tours and seen the old Western saloons or whatever. I used to do that when I was young. Not all the time. But when I went to Los Angeles, I went to Universal Studios and other places, and we would see the cowboys and Indians fight. They would do this for us because we were tourists. And you see them fighting, and they go to the OK Saloon. Anyone's heard of the OK Saloon before? Anyway, and it was just some wood in front and back. There was nothing. So that's like the beauty in this world that attracts us and causes us to lose our life and diminishes our lifespan. There's a facade there. And behind that, Boma Ijadi. So behind that, it's that Tridaduke. It's bile, mucus, and air. I mean, it's even worse than the facades in the movie sets. It would be like, forgive me, I don't want to be scatological, but it's coming out like that. So just like in the movie sets, you know, you go behind it and there's nothing. But in the material world, there's beauty, the temporary beauty of the material world. Behind it, there's bile, mucus, and air. So if you walk behind the movie set and found a whole pile of mucus, it wouldn't be so nice. Anyway, that's a sannyasa class for you. So getting back to the point. So basically, people who take vows, they're tested, especially the brahmachari vow. I mean, they're tested, and not only by Maya herself, but the demigods. They definitely arrange so many interesting tests when they see someone is determined to progress in spiritual life or execute austerities. We have the example of Viswamitra Muni. As I mentioned, last night I saw a little video about Sakuntala, who is his daughter. So with Viswamitra Muni, he was very determined to execute austerities, be a brahmachari, at least for some time. And then the demigods, they sent Menaka. And immediately he forgot about all of his austerities. I don't know if it was immediately, but it was a few seconds later. So he forgot about all of his austerities and cohabitated with her. And then what happened? As a result, this little girl, Shakuntala, was born. And she was a very beautiful girl. However, the parents didn't want anything to do with her, which is really sad, because it was illicit life, you understand? So it's described that Menaka left for the heavenly planets, and Viswamitra, he went back to his austerities and left this poor little girl. That shows, too, you know, the cruelty that's there when one engages in illicit sex life. One actually loses their compassion, too. Imagine that. Which is like in America, there's so many stories about ladies who fall in love with another man other than their husband, and they kill their kids. They watch their kids drown. They take the emergency brake off the car and let the car glide into a lake or something. And the water gradually fills up the car, and there's three kids in the car. And the kids just like drown right in front of the mother's eye because she's so lusty. So getting back to the story about Shakuntala. So she was just left there, this poor, you know, just a baby. You understand, baby? You don't know what a baby is? So it was a, you know, baby, you know, real little tiny baby. And she was just left there in the forest. And it's described, the reason she's called Shakuntala, does anyone know? Because that means the vultures protected her. Just like yesterday, I was driving my bike, and there was a dead body on the road. Not a person. It was an animal, some other animal. It was a person who would have stopped and called 911. So it was an animal on the road, and there was this giant bird there. And sometimes here, you look up in the sky, you see the vultures circling around. Like Prabhupada, we use give the example that the vultures, they can see very, very far, but what are they looking for? Dead bodies. So they're just circling and circling and circling, and they see a dead body. Whoop! And so he was picking at the dead body, this vulture. You know, picking the entrails out of the dead body. So anyway, the vultures, they didn't hurt this little girl because they only attack dead entities. They usually don't attack people who are alive. So the vultures were protecting her. They surrounded her and protected her. That's why she's called Shakuntala. That means protected by the vultures, or the vultures, daughter of the vultures. So eventually, Kanva Muni came. Kanva Muni, and he protected her as she grew up. And one day, he was away for the day, And this Maharaj Dushmanta came. You all know the story? It's an interesting story. Maharaj Dushmanta came. There's a story from the Mahabharata and the Bhagavatam, too. Maharaj Dushmanta came, and he was wandering, hunting or something, and then he saw this beautiful girl, Shakuntala. And he fell in love with her, and immediately they had a marriage. Just see how strong lust is. Immediately he had a marriage, he exchanged garlands, and then he said, I'll call for you later. And he went back to his kingdom. And he didn't call for her because people would have criticized him or whatever. You know, he was concerned about his reputation. So he didn't call for her. Later on, she went back to his kingdom because she was pregnant and she had a baby. The baby's name was Bart. That's why this world is called Bart Varsha. And there was some big argument, and basically a voice from the sky, because he was denying that it's his kid. A voice from the sky said, you know, it's your kid, you better accept her. And so he accepted her. So anyway, these are some stories about lust. There's other stories too. So many stories about lust in the Vedic literatures, of how sages are just like attacked because the demigods send down agents. Even in the Mahabharata, it's filled with stories like that. Just like you have a Drona. Drona means a pot. And the reason he's called pot, not that pot, not smoking pot, but is because he was born from a pot. And the reason he was born from a pot is that his father, Bharadvaja Muni, was exposed to this demigoddess who was sent down, or Apsara was sent down, Grahachati, I can't pronounce it properly. And he just lost it when he saw her. And so they preserved the vital fluid, and then he was born from a pot. And not only him, but his wife was also born in the same way. You know, you have Kripacharya, which I mentioned the other day, Kripacharya and Kripi. Kripi was the girl. They were twins. And they were also born. The Rishi Sardavan also was attacked by a, I'm using that word attack directly, deliberately. He was attacked by a girl sent from the heavenly planets, and he also lost it. And then out of that, there are two little babies born. And that was Kripa and Kripi, or Kripacharya and Kripi, who was the wife of Drona. And they were later adopted by Shantanu. Shantanu was in the forest hunting, and as he was hunting in the forest, he came across these two little babies just lying there. You know, it's amazing how people just leave babies out when they lose. It's not really nice. I'm not supposed to leave babies in the forest. So he came across them and raised them, and they later on became, you know, Kula gurus, that means gurus in it, who taught within his kingdom. And then also you have the story of Narayan Rishi in the Vedic literatures. Narayan Rishi, of course, that's Krishna and Arjuna. And they were tested, there was an attempted test by Indra, who sent his apsaras and Spring and Cupid, all of his. Because Cupid is a real entity. He really fires arrows of form, taste, smell, touch. He just like attracts your senses. You may think, oh, you're not attracted to the opposite sex, but you may be attracted to a nice, beautiful mountain or waterfall or something like that. You know, people think, oh, it's so beautiful, a waterfall. I mean, what is a waterfall anyway? It's just water coming off of a mountain. Better just turn your shower on. So that's also Cupid. Cupid, it deals with the five objects of the five senses. You understand? The five senses, five objects. So anyway, so Narayan Rishi, he was tested by this Cupid, and Narayan Rishi basically yawned because he's a god. He doesn't succumb to Cupid. Actually, Krishna is called Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan means he attracts Cupid. And the only thing that attracts Cupid, the attractor of Cupid, is Madan Mohan Mohini, which is Radharani. She attracts Krishna by her devotion. We can also attract Krishna by our devotion. We can't attract Krishna by the objects of the senses. Of course, we try our best to prepare nice things in this world for the Lord in the deity worship, but basically what attracts Krishna is devotion. And if you have devotion, you can offer Krishna a banana peel and he'll like it. And if you don't have devotion, you can offer Krishna jewels and all sorts of opulent food and Krishna won't even accept it. Bhakti mam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvata. So that's the only thing that control. So anyway, Naranarayan Rishi, he didn't succumb to this. And we find many great devotees also don't succumb to the allurement or the attraction of the opposite sex. Like Haridas Thakur being confronted with the prostitute first and Maya Devi later on. Arjuna, who was confronted with Urvasi. And he just said, Mataji to her. And she got angry, of course. That's one way to deal with Cupid or attractive people when they come to you. Just say, you're like my mother. Try that sometime. It makes them angry. You know, some lady comes up and says, hi. Of course, I don't have that problem. But when I was young, my mother tried to make some arrangements for me, but they were all just like my mother. So I would just generally say, oh, you're just like my mother, and that took care of the whole thing. So Arjuna was able to deal with Urvasi. It certainly makes a lady angry. Don't try that at home with your wife. So, it's interesting also with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He took the lifetime vow of brahmacharya, too. And he even made a whole society of brahmacharis. There's a whole story about that he had a society of people who had vowed to never get married. He was the only one who actually kept to his vow. He made a whole, like, in his youth, he made a whole society. So the point is, okay, so let's get to the practical point at the end of class. The point is, how can we withstand the allurement, the attractive features of Krishna's illusory energy, and therefore live a healthier life, controlling not only the genitals, but the tongue, the belly, as mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam. These are all pushing things. So one is able to control the tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, words. So how do you do that? Of course, we all talk about this higher taste thing. But that may be a little bit more advanced than many of us are at right now. So, you know, we're enjoying so much. We mentioned previously about Ramananda Roy. He identified himself as a female servant of Radharani. That's a little bit too advanced for us at this point. So how do you do that? You know, it's not that, you know, Maya comes, oh, I'm just a female. It doesn't work like that. when you're not advanced. I mean, when you have a narthus, you can't do that. You understand? It's not that, you know, I'm just a gopi in the spiritual world, or I'm just a cow. And then but it doesn't work with you because you're not advanced enough to do that. So therefore, you have to function on the platform of intelligence. Intelligence means you have to understand, what is my goal in life? What is my purpose in life? Will succumbing to the urges of my senses help me with that goal? Or will it interfere or hurt me insofar as attaining that goal? We have to think about that. Examine it every minute. Should we do this? Should we do that? In other words, accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable. As Lord Chaitanya, these are the first two things you got to do according to Lord Chaitanya. That's intelligence platform. Is this going to help me? Even insofar as eating, you know, is it going to help me by taking this extra sweet ball? Even so far as that is concerned, you have to be very much alert. Like Prabhupada said, devotional service is like a razor's edge. You have to be very alert when you're shaving with a straight razor, not with a safety razor. A shaved straight razor is like this. You don't understand. There's no safety part of it. If you're not alert, your ear, it falls off or is cut. Right? You got to be very alert. Nowadays, we have safety razors. I mean, you can just do anything. And the worst that happens is you nick yourself. But Prabhupada said it's like a razor's edge. So that we have to be in control of our senses at every minute. It's not that only in relationship to the opposite sex or big things like that or, you know, meat or intoxication or all those other things. But, you know, will it help my devotional service to eat this much? How much should I eat? You know, eating is actually controlling the eating. Will it help me give me health so I can serve Krishna? Or is it something I'm just eating because it feels good? And it won't hurt me. And it won't help me. So you got to think. You know, we could do things that feel good, too. You know, we eat nice food. I'm not saying you should all just eat raw food. Might be a good idea, but I'm not saying it. So, but we have to consider, is this going to help me in my ultimate goal or not? And that's intelligence. And every minute, that intelligence has to be applied in devotional service. And therefore, you will be able, Krishna will give you the strength to control your senses. Is doing this, you know, playing this video game all night, is it going to help me attain Krishna Prem? Maybe it will. If the video game is like Radha and Krishna or something like that. But will it help me? So you've got to think like that. So that's actually advancement. That's the intelligence. Buddhi yoga. Buddhi means intelligence. Yoga means to connect yourself through intelligence. Later on, you'll understand your spiritual body. You won't have any inclination for any of these things, you know, later on, you know, tomorrow. But right, I wish it was like that. But, you know, it'll happen. We have to be patient. Utsahan nishtya yatatat karma vartana. But right now, there's the intelligence platform. You know, will this help me? Will this not help me? Will, you know, even such a, you know, as I have a computer, well, looking at the news all day long, I don't look at all day long, but, you know, will looking at all the news sites help me advance in devotional service? You certainly have to understand the news, so there's, but, you know, too much is too much. So little things like that we have to understand. Will this attitude, will this, you know, will criticizing this Vaishnava, just like yesterday, I received a message and some devotee had criticized Vaishnavas. Anyway, not a very heavy offense against Vaishnavas, and I just immediately responded because I knew if I hadn't responded, it would hurt me in devotional service. I said, you can't call devotees that. You know, whatever you call devotees. So you have to respond, because what will help me, what will hinder me? You have to consider that at every moment. It's a moment-to-moment thing. So any questions or comments about these things? Yeah. Too much, yeah, illicit sex. Like.
It changes your consciousness.
Well, it's absorption in gross bodily sense enjoyment, and it brings down the level of consciousness. I mean, we're talking about illicit sex life. I'm not talking about something that's done in Krishna consciousness for having Krishna conscious children.
How it affects,
well, obviously, you know, something that's dealing with bodily fluids is not going to help you with cleanliness. You know, it brings you to the mode of ignorance, and it's one of the causes of spreading of diseases. You know, why is AIDS prominent? Or, I mean, I know intravenous stuff too, but because of people engaged in illicit sex life, right? I mean, I don't want to talk about it too much because it's so abominable. But it's like if I sneeze and I don't cover my mouth. I mean, I know when I'm in an airplane sometimes and people sneeze and they don't cover their mouths or use tissues. It upsets me a lot. Why? Because the disease will be carried. So when the exchanges of bodily fluid, I mean, even sneezing, you know, we should be alert too. someone should cover their mouth when they're sneezing. So, obviously, illicit sex. We're talking about illicit sex. And so when Krishna says in the Gita that he sex life according to regulated principles that for having nice Krishna-conscious children, just like you had nice Krishna-conscious children, they didn't just come with a from the stork. I don't think Amma was delivered by a stork, right? So, a stork. Everybody knows what a stork is? It's one of those animals that carries a little baby below it. I don't know if you've seen pictures. I mean, that's something I learned when I was young. That's how babies come. That's something, new information for you. So, no, obviously, then you had nice Krishna-conscious children. And both of your children are extremely nice. You know, great devotees. Right? So that's proper. Okay, on that happy note, I don't want to get too scatological in class.